From the deserts of the great Southwest, you're listening to Jerry Wills, Horizon to Horizon on Channel U, Internet Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Channel U. I hope that since last time, you've had a very good life and everything's been going well for you. That's not exactly the case, though, for most of the civilized world, at least if you're in the Middle East. As I'm sure you're quite well aware, there's a lot of turmoil going on over there. And from this point of observation, it looks to me as if it's something that won't be resolved for quite some time. I just hope that it doesn't spill over into our backyard. That said, there are quite a few things that are going on right now that I want to bring you up to date on. First of all, I want to let everyone know that I am going to be in Boca Raton, Florida, the end of this month. It's going to be on the 27th, I believe. If you want to have information about that, it's very easy. Go to jerrywills.com and you'll find the information there. I'll be teaching a class on healing and also, I'll be treating people with that special way that I do with using energy and trying to take care of any problems they may have. Also, we have some breaking information on a couple of fronts. First of all, I want to tell you about something that's going on here in Arizona. About 6 years ago, some friends of ours were told about a very unusual kind of mural, let's say. It's called a mural that's on a wall that was exposed after a very heavy rain caused the creek to rise and washed away some sand. Now, I haven't seen very much of the pictures yet, and we certainly have not gone up there yet. However, we are planning to go up and take a look at this firsthand to see exactly what it is, but from what we've been told, it's quite extraordinary. It doesn't really look like anything out of the norm for rock art in the Great Southwest. So we'll have a full report on that for you. Pictures will be put up on Extreme Expeditions, the members' website within Expeditions Magazine. And once the members have had a chance to take a look at it and peruse those pictures, then we will be putting those most likely on the general parts of the website, at least a few of the pictures. We are planning to go up there and take a look at it. I don't know exactly when. As soon as we know, we will be alerting those members of the Extreme team that are interested in coming along with us. Now, on another topic, we, of course, have been looking all over the United States trying to find pieces of information here and there that would allow us to put together a greater picture of what the ancient history of North America, what that might be. So far, one of the things that's happened is that we have our Idaho state director has been in contact with a person. I can't tell you their name because she doesn't want to be identified. But her claim to fame is that she has a small egg, or at least an egg-shaped stone. I don't know which it is. But upon this is a cartouche, and the cartouche is that of King Tut. Now, what makes this really unusual is that this was found in Idaho. And it was found near some ruins in Idaho. And guess what? G.E. Kincaid was from the same area in Idaho and was actually quite an explorer up there. And he's the one who found this egg. So if we get any more information on this, we don't have any pictures. And the information we have, we really can't release. But we do know, at least now, that it does exist. It's not just a story. Our Idaho state director has been in contact with the woman who has this artifact. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the real thing. And we're hoping to go up to Idaho sometime this year to do a little bit more kicking around ourselves, perhaps take some of the members of the Extreme team up there with us to aid in the search. And if that weren't enough, we have something else developing out of Tennessee. Our state director of Tennessee, Gary Bass, has, as many of you might know, if you've been into the members area of Expeditions magazine, Extreme Expeditions, there's been a rock wall that was discovered there. Actually, it's not a wall, I guess. It's more of a cliff face. And upon this cliff face, which is about 25 foot long and about 3 foot tall in general terms, there are all these writings, which we were supposing might be Aleutian, which is an ancient form of Atlantean. Or who knows? I mean, our greatest source of information for ancient languages is our beloved Mr. X, who we don't identify because of who he is, what he does, and we don't want anything to interfere in his life, but he is an authority on ancient languages, I can assure you. Now, Mr. X took a look at these, and he said, well, I'm not exactly sure what they are. They look like maybe an old form of pictograph, but wasn't quite certain. Found nearby, there was also found a unusual-looking stone. From the looks of the picture, it wasn't really huge, but it looked like it was purposefully made. It's actually, well, if you take a look at the website, you'll see it. It looks like a figure with lines and lines and lines around it. And we weren't really sure what that figure represented, but we felt that it had some association with the other lines. As it turns out, it may not have any association with the pictographs or glyphs that are found on a different area of this mountain in southwestern Tennessee. But instead, it may actually be something that leads us in a whole different direction. You see, there was this fellow named Madoc. Now, Madoc was a prince from Wales, and he left Wales because, well, there was just a lot of war and conflict going on. So Prince Madoc, one of, I believe, several brothers, took off and came to the New World about in the 1100s, 1100 AD, right in there, 1117, I think. Came to the Gulf of Mexico and went north. Now, here's something interesting about Madoc. There's quite a bit, actually, that's out there available for you to find about him. It's M-A-D-O-C. Put that into a search engine, and I'm sure you'll come up with some of the same information that we're using right now. Excuse me. The information that we have about this stone, this unusual stone that led us in this direction, is that it's actually a labyrinth. And labyrinth symbols, of course, are found all over the British Isles. We have a letter here from Sandia Murphy, who addresses this after having taken a look at that picture. She writes, labyrinth symbols are found all over the British Isles. I knew this and had noted its frequent use in artwork and comparing it to the Hopi and Zuni culture usage in the Southwest United States. I had literature after I saw your picture, and this is what I found. I had assumed that the Celtic meaning was druidic or pagan in nature. I started a search in the literature after I saw your picture, and this is what I found. It has some very interesting implications, knowing the location that you found it in. It is said that after the fall of Troy, the only Trojan prince to escape was the great hero Aeneas Whiteshield, who fled to Italy with his son in his arms and his father on his back. Many years later, his great-grandson, Brutus, was sent into exile, and after liberating the descendants of Trojan captives, brought them to a fair island in the northern seas to begin a new kingdom, one that still bears his name, Britain. Thousands of years later, 19th century antiquarians noticed a curious custom. Welsh shepherd boys sometimes cut a labyrinth pattern into the turf as they tended their sheep on the mountains. They called these figures Caedroia, meaning either City of Troy or City of Turnings, and it's said to represent a plan of the City of Troy defended by seven walls. Now, this is something that's found in the mountains in Tennessee, and not inscribed upon a pasture, but instead inscribed upon a stone, the very same kind of inscriptions that are found over in Wales. Between the information we have about Prince Madoc and his journey to the New World and this stone having been found, And also there are other anomalous features in this area. There's a huge stone fort that was built by someone who had a great deal of knowledge about putting together stones. These stones are cut, shaped, and placed. We feel that Prince Baddock probably, either himself or those associated with him, those who might have come across with him, may have journeyed northward and gotten as far as up into Tennessee. We do know that of all those who did come to this part of the world, that the Native Americans actually killed a great many of them and drove them out. So this is a story that we're investigating. Our thanks go out to Gary Bass of the Tennessee Extreme Research and Expeditions Team for the work that he's doing on that. And we will keep you posted as new developments are made available to us. Now, an interesting letter came in to us actually yesterday. Many of you may not have known this. We've been moving the past few days into a new office, new studios. So consequently, some of the mail you may have sent, we haven't had a chance to read yet. But this one was very interesting and came to us from a fellow on the West Coast. He had heard a program on Art Bell where this person was using a trans medium to get in touch with spirit guides, departed souls on the other side, to help with his archaeology. And it was suggested that maybe we should try this too, especially in light of the fact that we're trying to locate several different places. And the places that we have located so far, it would be very interesting if we could get in touch with whoever had been there, if they happen to still be around as a spirit, of course. So he suggested that we maybe should consult with a couple of people who are deeply involved in this. It sounds interesting to me. I don't see any reason why not. Another letter came in to us. This person was suggesting that we use recorders and try to tune in, if you will, to the electronic voice phenomena that seems to produce astonishing results. And if you're not familiar with this, what it amounts to basically is this. You have a recorder, you have a microphone, you set it up, you walk away, you let it record for, I don't know, maybe an hour. You come back, you turn it off, you take it back, and you listen to it. And in the background, you hear voices. And some of these voices can be quite discernible. It's quite an astonishing thing. And we do plan to have someone who's involved in this research here on Channel U to fully explain it to us so we have a little bit better grasp on this kind of research. Now, finally, one of the things that is really interesting to me is, have you ever thought about the pyramids? And of course, we're all somewhat familiar with how they have an association with the stars. It seems they were laid out in a certain pattern, and then certain features upon the Giza Plateau seem to associate or correlate with the patterns of stars, namely Orion. Well, there's a fellow that we know. His name is Gary David, and he's done an extraordinary amount of research on this. Now, we don't have this up on Expeditions Magazine yet, but we do intend to have Gary as a guest on Channel U. And we hope that we can get some of his articles up on Expeditions Magazine as well. But until then, I would suggest that you go to a website that's maintained by a good friend of ours. It is ViewZone, ViewZone.com. Go to Carving, Carving, _ Cosmos, Cosmos, .html. You'll find Gary's article there, and I guarantee you, when you read this, it's going to knock your socks off. You know, one of the interesting things about this is that when Gary was doing his research, there were a couple of points where there are not sacred sites, and he was confused by this until we pointed out that one of those points happens to be where we suspect the Lost City in the Grand Canyon to be. And the other one is another anomalous feature that's at the other end of the Grand Canyon, something that we haven't really mentioned to anyone yet. We're still doing some research on this, but it looks like a huge wall, something that's very similar in nature to what is found at Sacsayhuaman in Cuzco, Peru. For those of you who are familiar with Sacsayhuaman, it's a huge, jagged wall, and when you look at it from above, it looks like a lightning bolt. There are seven tiers, and of course, the shaman tell us that it was the Temple of the Seven Thunders, or the Rainbow Temple. If you've never been there, I suggest you go and check it out sometime, providing that world circumstances permit. It's too bad that a bunch of crazy people, not a bunch really, a few crazy people, make it difficult for those of us who want to go out and increase our knowledge and increase what we know and have the adventure and have the enlightenment and have the fun, that these people, I can't even call them people, these idiots, they go and throw all this mess around and create such an uncomfortable mood on the surface of the earth. And I think it's time we get together, and this is my own personal commentary, get off my soapbox a minute. I think it's time we get together and tell them, hey, that's enough of that shit, knock it off. Go back where you came from, leave us the hell alone, and if you want to go kill somebody, go kill each other. You know, we don't want any part of this. Your insanity is dirtying up our world. That's all I have to say on that, of course. Actually, it's not, but that's all I will say on that for right now. If you want more commentary of an extraordinary nature and something that's controversial, go listen to Media Mike. You'll enjoy that one. He is extraordinary. Now, look, this program that you're going to be listening to tonight is from the Associate State Director of Utah, and it involves actually quite an amazing discovery that has been made there, another amazing discovery. I have to tell you that there are so many really bizarre things that are coming out of Utah that I'm thinking about moving there. I can't begin to tell you all the strange stuff. Giants and ancient temples and tablets made of gold and stone and copper and huge, huge murals on the wall showing an exodus, ancient cities buried in mountains, mummies and sarcophagus that are like made of granite, like the ones in the Great Pyramid in Egypt. There are so many things that it just boggles my mind. I mean, it's really, it's quite astonishing. Well, another astonishing thing has happened. There's a fellow up there who had a dream, apparently, had an inspired vision, whatever you want to call it, and he felt that he could build this thing that he dreamt about. He was shown how to build something, and he built it. And within a few days, he's interested in this subject of ancient archaeology as well, ancient civilizations and all. He happened to find a temple, an old temple, very, very old. And looking through there, finding broken pieces from the wall, he started piecing things together, put it all together again, at least to my understanding, put it together as best as he could, and he is able to read some of the inscriptions. The inscriptions give him detailed instructions on how to use this machine. Now, that sounds pretty far out, but I've got to tell you that he has now made this machine, and what this thing does is somehow it radiates. Don't confuse this with irradiation. It isn't the same thing. It radiates, in other words, it broadcasts a signal out, and it affects water. And the signal apparently is a kind of a focused signal, from my understanding, and it goes to where it's supposed to, and it affects water. Furthermore, these inscriptions gave him detailed instructions about adding elements such as, common things, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, so on and so forth, things you'd normally find in water. It also gave him instructions on how to add silver, gold, platinum, iridium, palladium. So he did this. The results have been extraordinary. When I first heard of this, thought that it was just either someone was pulling my leg or it was too good to be true. During this interview, you're going to hear from one of the investigators, the Associate State Director for Utah, Zeke Crossfield. You're going to be hearing, in his own words, what he himself has seen. And I guarantee you, you're going to be astonished. I was astonished. I just didn't know what to think about it. So, I think that we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be speaking with our guest this evening, Mr. Zeke Crossfield. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to Channel U.
This program is brought to you by Hennessy Hammock, the greatest invention of our modern times. For more information, visit their website, www.hennessyhammock.com. This month, they're featuring free shipping, free 6-day shipping to all of North America and the United Kingdom. For more information, you can give Tom a call at area code 888-539-2930. Tell Tom hello from Jerry and Kathy Wills and the Extreme Expeditions team. This is Jerry Wills with Channel U and a special guest with us today, Mr. Zeke Crossfield. This fellow is the Assistant State Director for the Extreme Research and Expeditions Team in Utah. And we've asked him to come in today to kind of help us understand exactly what's going on up in Utah on a number of fronts. The most important of which may be something to do with a fellow who has made a significant discovery concerning water, of all things. And I'm sure you're curious, so I'll back out of the way. Zeke Crossfield, first of all, tell us about this discovery of the water.
Well, the gentleman that we're referring to, Calvin Young, is in the Salt Lake area. And he was an engineer for a large aeronautics company in California, moved to Utah when the company built one of their plants there and has been there ever since. His engineering skills led him over the years to invent quite a few different devices, and he quit the company because he began to invent things that he thought he could market. And he developed a device that put out a certain type of field that caused water to change its molecular properties. And the way he described the way this water looks when he irradiates it with this device is that a molecule of water looks like a closed fist. And when it is irradiated, it opens up into, as he described it, an 11-petaled flower. In fact, he can count the petals with an electron microscope and see each petal. And so the molecule actually develops a wholly different shape. And interestingly enough, a wholly different configuration as to how it relates to the human cell structure.
And this fellow, his name again?
Calvin Young.
Calvin. Mm-hmm. Calvin's actually taken a look at the way this looks, and he's seen it look like a flower, you say?
Yes. Yes. The in nature, molecules have shapes.
Right.
And this particular shape changes from regular water to a different type of water. And what's interesting about this water is that it actually carries a rather potent electrical charge.
Okay, now let's back up a second. You said that the water glows purple.
Yes, and when he irradiates it for about 3 minutes of time, I shouldn't use the word irradiate, when he radiates it, it actually develops a iridescent purple, deep blue with a cast of, kind of hard to describe, a cast of violet, a very high intensity color, and the water glows.
And it continues glowing.
It glows for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then it begins to die down. However, the electrical charge stays there.
And this is after the machine has been shut off, whatever it is he was using to radiate the water.
Correct.
Now, in radiating the water, what do you suppose he's doing?
Well, as he describes it, the water develops, it picks up an extra hydrogen atom, for one thing, and mm-hmm. he uses distilled water. He can do it to any type of water, but distilled water is the cleanest and is the most imprintable water.
All right.
With that extra electron charge, and with the ability of the water to change its molecular configuration, like the flower, which you described,
right,
it now becomes a super compatible fluid for the cells of the body. When they speak of terrain that the cell lives in, they're speaking of water.
Right.
And when we drink city water or any type of water, the cells deal with that. That's its source of hydration.
And all the things that are in water, like fluoride or chlorine or any of these things.
Any mineral, any chemical.
And that goes into our cells and through our entire body.
Yeah. In fact, what our bodies spend a lot of time doing is combating or defending against things that shouldn't be there. And that takes a lot of energy to do that.
Well, I would imagine so. So this water, once he's radiated it, whatever that means in very specific terms, once he's done this, then he's changed the structure of the water. And when the machine's shut off, it remains glowing this unusual iridescent purplish blue color, kind of like a black light, I'm guessing.
Yes, in that direction. It's violet would be it, but it has a little more blue cast to it.
Oh, okay. And this is self-illuminated. Now, you mentioned that it carries a charge with it. Explain that.
Right. Now, the glowing color dissipates after a few minutes, and then the water settles down, but it still maintains the charge. And he did a demonstration. He lined up about 8 or 9 people in a circle, and they held hands. He broke the circle and had one person put his finger in the water,
mm-hmm.
and it simultaneously shocked every single person in the circle.
Really?
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is the old trick we used to do when we were kids, and I don't know if the kids still do it, is you could touch a battery. The person that touches it doesn't get shocked. The people in the line feel the current, and the person on the end gets zapped.
Yeah, exactly right.
But in this instance, all people got shocked at the same time.
Well, we used to do something similar back in the hills of Kentucky and touching a hot vents.
Yeah.
And, you know, as long as you were the one in the middle, you really didn't get much of a charge. But the first person to break connection, those two people at that connection point were the ones that got shocked pretty good.
Yeah, and another thing that happened in this demonstration is he put a second group of people up there, and that's after he discharged the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
It's an 8-ounce bottle, shocked all those people of this water.
8 ounces.
And he left the cap open, and for a half hour he lectured, and then he says, well, it should be charged up again. The water recharged itself. And he put another line of people up there, and someone in the center of the circle chickened out, so to speak, and he broke his hand away. And when the first person touched it, they all got shocked, including the ones that weren't in the when he broke the line.
Right.
So somehow this field or charge of energy not only shocked everybody, but it jumped across either through the ground or through the air or somehow and got the rest of the people. Now that is quite a demonstration.
Where was this lecture being conducted?
This was conducted in southern Utah, St. George.
All right. Is there any chance we can talk to this fellow?
I have talked to him, and he said that he would be glad to come down and meet with you or meet with other people if we set something up for him and give a similar demonstration.
All right, we'll do that. Now, of course, you and I have been talking about this water, and I've known about it ever since you've brought it to our attention here. And from what I understand, there are some other rather unusual aspects to this as a discovery. Of course, as everyone listening knows, the discoveries of the giants in Utah, there's just all number of things up there that we're finding. Plates of metal that are engraved with strange hieroglyphs, tombs, elaborately made tombs with 12 and 15 foot. I've heard, anyway, I've not seen this size giants, but I've heard that there are 8 to 12 foot giants, and we've actually seen pictures of those. And a whole range of things, as though there was at one time a very advanced civilization, maybe as far back as 15,000 years ago, who lived in that part of the North American continent. Now, that said, what is the rest of the story about the water in relation to how it relates to ancient cultures?
One of the things, this Cal, he's a studier of the ancient languages and archaeology, and he lives in an area where these things that you just spoke of are everywhere.
Prolific, yeah.
Prolific. For example, there's a community just south of where he lives where the giants have been found. They found over 15 of them in sarcophagus.
Mm-hmm.
And they had records and so forth.
Well, this is an area where you and I and the rest of the Extreme team have been going into and researching and trying to find more and more of this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what we're looking for. In fact, we think that we're about ready to go actually see up close and perhaps even take a small sample of just one of these giants that existed in the time frame that you spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cal, he knew about this, and in fact, he knows a lot of the people up there. They trust him because he's lived in that area for quite a while. And they took him to a ruin in Manti where there was a lot of petroglyphs. Mm-hmm. On the stones that was once part of this construction. A very, very ancient. It goes back prehistoric, our history, of course.
Right.
And he has learned, along with using other people that he knew, how to translate some of this language, and he discovered, interestingly enough, formulas on how to use minerals to create different conditions in the human body.
This was engraved, what, on a wall or on a stone?
On different stones found in the area. In fact, he's going to take me to show me this site.
Can you get pictures, you suppose?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll have him up on the site.
Yep, we'll get pictures, and he's very keen on the world knowing about this very important knowledge, and that's why, you know, he just wants to help everybody.
So he found this information engraved on stones. Do you suppose they were tablets or just shards or part of the wall, perhaps?
He said it was part of the wall. He said it was a temple. He said it was an ancient temple. That's his description.
All right.
And that they found it and was able to translate, and they were getting formulas on how to break down minerals. You see, the human body absorbs minerals the same way plants do.
Sure.
It has to be a certain size. If it's too big, it's like trying to strain a boulder through a screen. You just can't get it into the cell structure.
Right.
And so it has to be broken down to this very small size. What he was taught was how to break it down into the very, actually smaller than angstrom size.
That's very small.
Yes, a micron is a millionth of an inch, and an angstrom is a millionth of a micron.
Okay.
And it's smaller than angstrom. In fact, it's so small that if it went smaller, it would cease to be a molecule.
All right. So now about these minerals, were there any specific instructions on what minerals? I mean, are we talking calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, or something else?
Absolutely. On what minerals do what? And of course, they're still studying.
Mm-hmm.
But there were minerals that help heal the body, that cure diseases, that rejuvenate the cells of the body, that increase our nervous system, can give us higher mental abilities, many different things.
So did he experiment at all with these different minerals or combinations, perhaps, of minerals?
Yes. What he found is that his water, the energized water that we first talked about, is the perfect delivery system.
Okay.
And the minerals, when broken down properly, becomes the perfect nourishment for the cells of the body.
So the water being at a much higher state electrically, let's say, and something that the body would feel very nourished by, just in and of itself, with the minerals added to it, it now is really super nourishing the body. It's really quite a delivery system in itself.
Absolutely. It's what we are beginning to believe is the elixir of the gods, in other words.
All right. So now let's go further with this, because I know there's more to it than just that. But for the benefit of those listening, tell us about the experiences that you and the other members of the research team have had and what you were using.
We've started out, the members of those that were part of the research that Calvin wanted to do, we started out with what we called a cocktail. Mm-hmm. These were minerals that were broken down in the manner we talked about. They have to be angstrom size or smaller.
All right.
They have to be ionically charged, and they have to be certain minerals. Those were calcium, magnesium, silver, a little bit of copper and phosphorus, and a few other minerals that he threw in. It's what he called the cocktail.
Sure.
When we started taking this, we noticed immediately an increase in physical as well as mental energy. It was amazing. Within a day, within a few hours, actually, for some of us, and others it took up to a day, but very quickly we all noticed an increased difference. I myself noticed an increase in my mental ability as well as physical strength. It just seemed to increase amazingly.
Now this, excuse me, this is... Well, let me ask you this question first. Did you try drinking the water just without anything in it, just distilled water that this fellow had
radiated? Okay, that's a good question. What we did is distilled water is going to be your cleanest water. It has nothing but water in it. There's no minerals, no anything. Some people have said, well, distilled water is a solvent, which it is. It's a very powerful solvent, and it's going to leach your body of its minerals. That's true. But you have to remember that minerals that are floating around in your body and not being used become, if they build up enough, become toxic. And so this became a cleansing factor. Mm-hmm. The minerals that are inside your cells are there, but now the cells need more minerals as they begin to use them up. That's why we took the mineral water that had this cocktail that I spoke of. And now, now the cells had a cleansed body, so to speak, and was now receiving the proper size, and the cells only take what they need. It's not going to overdose. Cells won't overdose on themselves.
Okay.
And so that part of the minerals that we wouldn't use, that the cells wouldn't use, is easily flushed out of the body because it's small enough, it's not being held. It just flows through and is gone.
Sure. So did you notice a difference in your energy level just drinking the energized water, or was there a more pronounced energy increase when you were drinking the water with the mineralization in it?
Well, the energized water came with the minerals. We never had that, but we have determined that the energized water has its effect on, that is where the energy comes. The main ingredient actually is the energized water.
All right.
And so the minerals are just food.
Okay, I've got it. Now, the introduction of you and the other researchers try water with just silver, just
yes.
You know, so
now that's good. We've been really doing a pretty good study on this.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us took the cocktail, and then later we started taking two types, one that was gold and one that was platinum.
All right.
Now, there's some of us that just took gold only, and others that took just platinum, and some took both. Small amounts, about 4 to 6 ounces of one in the morning and 4 to 6 ounces of other in the evening.
Now, is there a significance to why you would use gold or platinum? Is there? I mean, was this spelled out on those tablets what these,
yes,
these different metals might do?
The tablets explain that gold is the mineral of healing. It causes the cells of the body to rejuvenate and to return to their youthful state.
Mm-hmm.
The platinum is the elixir or the mineral of the nervous system of the brain and the nerves of the body.
All right.
And it's going to cause the brain to repair and to develop the higher functions that it is capable of helping you do.
All right. Now, the experiences with the gold, tell us about that.
There's various ways to test the effect of these minerals on the body. There are devices that can sense energy in the human body. And, for example, a young person would be 50 or 49, 48, 50 being the highest.
And measured in what way?
It's a device called a phasics machine.
Oh, okay.
And the phasics machine is calibrated from 1 to 50, and a young athlete would be 47, 48.
So it measures the potential there in the body.
The life force, so to speak.
Sure, okay.
An old person would be 18, 20, and that's a pretty old person. Now, we had one lady who measured at 18 and was very sick. She had sinus problems, lung problems, allergy problems, arthritic problems. Just wasn't too good, and she was 65 years old.
Mm-hmm.
After a very short period of time, about 1 week of using this water, she went in, and her chiropractor did the phasics test on her, and she tested 48.
Really?
Her sinuses were cleared up. Her aches and pains were gone. She was feeling like $1 million in just 1 week. So it was amazing.
Okay, well, that's one person. Are there any other examples?
Another lady had muscular dystrophy. It's the one that you lose control of the nervous system.
Muscular sclerosis?
Multiple sclerosis.
Multiple sclerosis.
And her husband, for the past 15 years, has had to bathe her, do everything for her. She was bound to a wheelchair, had to help her go to the bathroom, everything, for all these years.
Mm-hmm.
After 3 months with the gold, she did a demonstration for us. She came to one of these meetings, and she stood up and walked. First time in 20 years.
And you've seen this?
I saw it. Her husband was in tears. Of course, she'd been doing this around the house, but to see it demonstrated in the other people, it broke him down. He was so proud of his wife and happy, and the applause was amazing, of course, and it was a miracle.
That is a miracle in most terms. That's astonishing. You know, I might want to add here that, well, you know about this. You know Three Eagles. The you've met him.
Robert Three Eagles, yes.
Exactly. Now, he related a story to us that, and I'm trying to remember specifically, but it was that his eyes weren't doing so well, and he had some of this water. So he decided, well, you know, if it's going to fix what's inside, how about if I just do an eye wash with it? So he did an eye wash, and you've spoken to him. What did he say?
Well, when I talked to him, he says, because he knew I was involved with this water, he says, can you get me any more? I says, why? He says, because I'm seeing better than I've ever seen before. In fact, I don't even need to use my glasses anymore. And he started reading stuff. I thought he never needed glasses. He says, I used to need them. And he says, but I've been putting this in my eye because I didn't have a way of drinking it the way recommended by Carl Jung. So he says, I just put some in my eye and it's starting to get better. I was amazed. I went and tried it myself, and yes, it does help your eyes for a short period of time.
All right. Well, my eyes aren't that good from all those years in electronics and looking at things as fine as a hair. It wears your eyes out. So I have, and this is gold water, is that right?
This was the cocktail water.
The cocktail water.
Right. We haven't tried the gold water in the ice, which may be even better.
All right. Well, I have, thanks to you, some of the gold water here. I'll try it. And we'll see. You know, if it helps my eyes, I'm all for it. Because I sure would like to be able to see as well as I used to. I could see the banner ad on an ant's butt. And now, you know, I can't even see the damn ant.
Well, when you get to be older, the eyes start to fade. And they say that's because the brain, the skull changes shape and the eye cannot support the... And with the muscles and everything, support that configuration for the lens to focus.
Well, if you talk to Kathy, she'd probably substantiate that. In my case, anyway, she says I have a big head. You're getting too much of a big head.
Well, when your head gets big, your eyes go bad.
I guess that's what happened. I'll have to get a much different opinion of myself.
Yeah, you can either get a head squeezer or try some of this in your eyes. It is amazing. I noticed that it stings a little bit, but it goes away right away. And as soon as the sting goes away, which is a few seconds, your eyes feel untired. They feel refreshed, and you can see better. And it lasts for what seems like an hour or so, and then. But we don't know over a long period of time if it actually is going to improve the vision.
Mm-hmm. But at least in the short term. Basis.
Yes, it does. In fact, I need glasses to read.
Mm-hmm.
I can put this in my eyes, and for quite a period of time, I don't need glasses to read, and then all of a sudden it begins to go fuzzy again.
How long would you say?
Oh, an hour or so.
Okay, so we're not talking days, we're talking a few hours.
Right, but it could be it lasts longer and longer. We don't know.
Well, we'll have to. I'll give it a try. I'll let you know. All right. Anything else about the gold water?
Well, the gold, like I said, is going to help a person get better. Now, it's not a miracle cure. However, it's done some miraculous things. Like I just told you, we had another gentleman that had a serious melanoma lesion on his back.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this.
And he was going to get it cut off, and he said, well, I'm going to get it cut off. Why the heck not? Let's put some on.
Mm-hmm.
He used it for 3 days, and it started getting white, turning white, and one day it was just like almost powder. His wife wiped it right off of his back, and there was pink skin underneath. So it did an amazing thing on cancer. And that's a cancer.
These are quite amazing stories.
Well, see, I'm not a doctor, nor am I the inventor, so I can say things and not get in trouble. But these are things I saw and I know are true.
Well, that's good enough for me. You know, I'll give it a try and let you know how it goes. And for everyone listening, from my end anyway, I'll certainly be letting you know how it goes as time goes by. If you have any questions, of course, you can always write us here at expeditionsmagazine.com or at channelu.net. Now let's go another step with this to the platinum, because I have a feeling that I already know. Who am I kidding? We've already had these conversations. There's information about the platinum that should be brought forward. So tell us what your experience is from inception up to this point in time for yourself and the other researchers.
Well, it goes back to Cal again. He not only used these inscriptions that he found at this temple and various other places, it's talked about a lot in the very ancient writings, but he also found that this tradition, this knowledge, was carried by the esoteric beliefs of various religions in the world, in Judaism.
Like the Essenes, perhaps?
The Essenes, and amongst many of the religions.
And the Essenes aren't as old as the people who wrote this on the stone were presuming.
Yeah, we think the Essenes and others like them preserved a knowledge that was already there.
And they were probably called something else back further in time.
Absolutely, yeah. I've heard that the ancient Toltecs, which a lot of people think were as a race of people in which archaeologically we can say is so. However, to the Mayans, the Toltecs were the scientists, the sorcerers, the alchemists of their day.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
And it's in Aztec and Mayan writings, and all of the, it all says the same thing.
Well, if you've ever been down to Central America, Mexico, and taken a look at the observatory, for example, at Chichen Itza, or any of the pyramids down there, they're all great astronomical observation devices, but they also have some very high science in their construction.
Absolutely. And, you know, all interestingly enough, all of these things are related, and we're only just now discovering how it all combines into a marvelous science that existed and we know hardly anything of today.
It's a fantastic story. That's why we're looking deeper and deeper as we can.
Absolutely.
But tell us about the platinum. What is the platinum? You say it affects the nervous system. So you've taken the platinum.
Yeah, the platinum was used as a way of preparing a shaman or a priest or an oracle to receive the word of God. And they would take this. Now, the Hebrews and their tradition, they would take the prophets and oracles and sages, and every so often they'd come in for a tune-up where they would take platinum and receive instruction at the temple and then go back out and teach the people. And then they come in for a refresher, so to speak.
The original holy water.
The original holy water, exactly. And this platinum was taken orally. You drink it, you savor it, you drink it like a fine wine, because the molecules absorb in through the tongue and through the upper tract of the digestive system.
Sure.
And it goes into the body and goes to the brain very quickly. What happens is it causes, we're not sure, but we feel that it causes the right and the left side of the brain to join together.
Are there any tests that have been done to support this?
Minor tests. They're only just beginning. But what they found is that a lot of people start to get a headache when they first take this, and they found what was happening is when they looked and compared it, and the, is it a... I'm trying to think of what it is that the MRI or whatever that shows the colors of the brain, the hot and cold.
Mm-hmm.
They noticed that the two sides were coming together. I figure, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know all the terminology, but the two sides were coming together, and it had to work with the space in the brain that has the fluid. I'm trying to think of the name of that, too.
Yeah, I'm no brain scientist.
But that became, there's a space in the center of the brain that contains liquid, and...
Well, that's where the pleasure and pain centers are located. I remember that much. And addictive centers are in the center of the brain.
Now, there's that one spot that's like seems like a void, but it actually contains the spinal fluid.
Mm-hmm. In there.
That became active when you take the platinum.
All right.
And the two sides seem to join together rather than be two separate right and left side brain. They become one. That's the effect it begins to have. And you can feel a slight headache. And sometimes you feel it on the right side, sometimes on the left. Goes away after a while. And then after a while, you don't get that anymore. Well, what happens is you begin to dream differently, more lucidly. You begin to relax more in life. You see life a little differently. And you actually begin to have a perception that is markedly different than what you had before. And that has something to do with the brain, and you might call it spirituality as well.
Have you had any extraordinary spiritual experiences?
Yes, I have. I've had some myself, and there's others. I can tell you of a friend of mine that had an exceptional experience, and his name is John. I won't give you his last name because I haven't got permission to talk about him, but he took a journey, so to speak, that would be akin to some of the things that is spoken of by prophets and so forth in the Bible. And it caused quite an exceptional change in him.
Was this like an out-of-body journey or a psychic vision, or how would you characterize it from what he's told you?
Well, what he told me is that he didn't go out of body, and it wasn't exactly psychic. However, there were some features that were not of this dimension that took place.
All right.
He said that he received tremendous currents of some form of energy. It wasn't electrical, but he said they were jolts of some sort. He said that this went on for a long time and that it caused a change in him, gave him the ability to see things that he normally couldn't see. He said he could look at his body during this period that he went through these experiences, and he could see veins of energy running over his entire surface of body, blue veins of energy. And he felt power and energy coming into him.
You suppose, was it a similar color of blue as what the water looks like?
Well, it's interesting. Cal talked to him, and he says that's the same color. He says, you've just described the same color that that I see when this water becomes energized.
I see. Interesting. Very interesting. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment with more.
Are you seeking a secure method of emailing your friends and family without worrying as to whether your private mail is being searched by unauthorized software? Do you find programs like Carnivore and Echelon to be intrusive on your rights to communicate your private thoughts and ideas to whomever you want to read them? Ed4 is the answer to your desires. It can be used on any Shockwave-enabled browser, and it's free. www.umedia.com/ED4.html.
You're listening to Channel U. Are you interested in forbidden archaeology? If so, after this program, visit Expeditions Magazine, where new light is shed on the forgotten past.
All right, we're back. Our guest here this evening is Zeke Crossfield, the Assistant State Director for the Extreme Research and Expedition Team in Utah. And what we're talking about right now has to do with this platinum water, which really has me interested because, I mean, well, of course, the gold is interesting as well because of its potential for doing the healing on the body. But the platinum, for what sounds to me like may be opening up the door to another level of awareness, perhaps. During the break, we were talking about another fellow that we know. And why don't you go ahead and tell us about Baker?
Yeah, we just like calling Bob. And again, I don't have his permission to use his name, so we're not using real names here. But
of course not.
But not without permission anyway. But,
no dogma.
But Bob, he's another case, and it seems that every human being has their own talent, their own signature, and their own way of absorbing the bounties of nature. And what we're talking about is things from nature. There isn't anything unnatural or chemical or synthetic about what we're talking about here.
Yeah, it's all earth material, really.
Absolutely, and it's what's in our bodies. It's what we're made of.
Mm-hmm.
But through time, whatever you want to call it, we humans have lost our ability to have present these minerals in their proper form, and the waters in us that make it so that we can gravitate to higher levels of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is probably turning the clock back to the ancient times when they were able to do that. And when people had nutrients or ways of doing this, maybe the same thing we're doing. We don't know how they did it exactly, except that we know the formulas and the ratios and what the different minerals are based on the studies of these ancient languages and so forth are telling us. Now, this Robert, or Bob we call him, he took the same thing that the John and then myself took, and it affected him a little differently. He went through this period of energy and so forth, and then he began to go through a period of severe anxiety, almost to the point of a nervous breakdown.
Really?
We didn't know exactly what was wrong, but what we found out through talking to a person who is a psychic, and he says, look, I know what's wrong with you. You are hearing and feeling the thoughts and feelings of other people.
Now, I remember speaking with him about this as well, and I know in our conversation, when I was mentioning some of this to him, he acknowledged that he's, and it was almost like a light went off for him. He said, yeah, you know, you're right. It's like I could sense their feelings. I could hear their thoughts, but he didn't know that it wasn't just in his own head, and it was like some kind of schizophrenia, perhaps, that was occurring. It was really very disturbing for him from the conversation that he and I had.
Yeah, that's a perfect description. He said it was like a loud chorus of chaos going off in his head. He said it was just a jumble of activity going on that he thought was inner dialogue, and he couldn't make sense of it. It was driving him pretty much batty, so to speak.
Well, you know, I've been in a situation like that myself, after having taken ayahuasca several times in the Amazon, I would come back here to the United States, and I could hear people thinking, and I had to just shut it off. Now, I know for many of you listening, it may sound pretty crazy, but imagine if you were in a room full of people, and they're talking, and they're listening back and forth, they're also thinking. There's all these thoughts going on. Imagine what it would be like if you could not plug your ears. You would hear all of this, and you didn't have any room for your own thoughts. It would be very disturbing.
Well, as Robert described it, it grates on your nerves to the point that you are raw, and you begin to break down and become weaker to the point of a breakdown. But it's interesting, like you said, once he realized what was going on, it was fairly easy to shut it off, and from that point on, he got better. He's fine now. He's doing great.
This concludes the first hour of my interview. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a comment. Subscriptions and your comments cost nothing, but it really helps us out a lot. To hear the entire interview you were just listening to, and many, many other amazing interviews within our archives, please visit jerrywillsshow.com and become a member. Your membership supports our ongoing broadcasts. That's jerrywillsshow.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this program.